Let's go back to 1983 when Charlie is diagnosed with chronic myelogenic leukemia and given 6 months to 2 years to live. We decide that we did not like that prognosis.
Let me just jump in and say, and he was only 47 years old. He was a very, very young man.
Right.
So when he was diagnosed, let's talk a little bit about that, the shock that had come to both of you and how you handled that.
The first week or so, there were a lot of tears and just trying to learn to cope with being handed at the age of 47 a death sentence. I said to Charlie, I don't think I like this prognosis. I said, let's try to go see if there's something that we can do to maybe add a few years to that. You know, this is before you could Google and do all that stuff. Charlie did go around and do some checking and talking to people and to Dr. Snitzer, who was the one who gave him the prognosis. We looked at the time at Seattle. They were doing bone marrow transplants very early on. But Charlie, because he was 47, was too old for that. The cutoff was 40. And we also went to Sloan Kettering, but they were only at that stage with CML in the Petri dish. And we were told about a man by the name of Dr. Moshe Topaz at MD Anderson Clinic, and we went to see him. He, at the time, was working with human interferon, which had a lot of impurities, but we decided to, again, gamble and go with Dr. Topaz. So Charlie started on human interferon, and we even went to Finland to see the whole process of how it was gathered and everything, and to thank them. It was sent in to this country because it wasn't totally legal by the Finnish Red Cross. But then Charlie developed, because the human interferon had a lot of impurities, a second fatal illness, because I used to jokingly say one wasn't enough. He had interstitial lung disease. We went to National Jewish in Denver, and he was put on steroids. So it became a delicate balance between the steroids and the interferon. And then he developed a third illness called autoperipheral neuropathy, where he had to keep his body temperature at 62 degrees. I never heard him complain, and he never felt sorry for himself. And he had this wonderful book that he always read. It was a Dr. Seuss book, and the book was called I Had Trouble in Getting to Salus Salu. And I have a copy that I keep by my bed at all times. It was how you really have to give your troubles trouble. The only time I ever heard him complain at all was when he said to me, do you know what it's like never to be able to be warm? Because he always had to keep his body temperature so cold. So I would go to the door if you had come in July to see me in sweats, because my house was always between 58 and 62 degrees.
Wow.
But he was an amazing person.
Probably in the wintertime, he'd be outside in his short sleeves.
Right. In fact, the funny story is he always traveled in Bermuda shorts, Birkenstocks, and a short sleeve shirt. Someone ran into him once dressed like this in the airport in New York City, and they said, if you're so rich, why do you look like that? Not knowing the whole history.
But he wasn't feeling cold. He was comfortable at that temperature, wasn't
yes.
he?
Yes.
Yeah. What was the prognosis? How many years was he given?
At the time that he was diagnosed, because there was no cure, he was given 6 months to 2 years to live, and he lived 17 years.
His life was prolonged by?
Interferon.
Interferon.
Right.
And so the medical world learned a lot from this.
Yes.
His case.
Right. They did. He worked very closely with Dr. Moshe Topaz. He helped fund his protocols and everything, so the world could learn from this.